L'chadchila, the malchus, to be 100% sure there's no dam for a long period of time, relatively speaking. You just do one, wow, you go in, so maybe you just missed it. There really is blood, you just happened to somehow lucked in and missed it. So that's not a complete birur, a gomer of 1,000%.
I'm sorry, I didn't miss, but why in the morning should
we
be said we don't require the
malchus
in the morning, only in
the... The whole idea of a malchus is a din only was stated by Ben Hashemosh. To do malchus at 12 o'clock by noon, they never heard of it. So I wouldn't recommend it. Okay. Now, you go in, so maybe you just missed it. There really is blood. You just happened to somehow lucked in and missed it. So that's not a complete biru, a gomer of 1,000%.
I'm sorry, I didn't miss, but why in the morning should we be that? Rebbe says we don't require the malchus in the morning, only in the...
The whole idea of a malchus is a din l'chadchila, and it only was stated by Ben Hashemosh. To do malchus at 12 o'clock by noon, they never heard of it. So I wouldn't recommend it. Okay. Now, big question. I had this challenge just last week. We mentioned before this possibility of, you know, wiping and somehow looking in, somehow just missing all the drops. Like, you know, it rains here and it rains there and the river walks in between. So you can maybe do a half stick like this, and then so the Chazon Ish is a big chumra based on this. Chazon Ish says that a woman should not wash herself internally and do an immediate bedikah. Why? That's no proof that the nistam ha-mayona, as the Gemara puts it, that the source of dam is dry up and there's no more coming out. Doesn't prove anything. Well, if you have a windshield wiper, it goes very fast. So you know, your windshield wipes, so it's not raining. Well, it's not raining. It means for this split second, it's not raining because it has the next drop hasn't a chance to come down yet. So there's anything over here. They wipe it away until the wiper comes the next time around. Okay, clean. That's like closing your eyes. That's not hefsek tahara for the Chazon Ish. You have to wait a while and then see if after you clean yourself out, nothing came afterwards. Oh, nothing came afterwards. That's a chassimin that it's this to my mind. That's the chum of the Chazon Ish. He doesn't say how much time exactly. He's always the expression zman meruba. Rav Moshe buys into this theory basically, and he says the zman meruba is 15 minutes. So it's very relevant that according to this is unbelievable chumrah, you have to wait 15 minutes between the time that you wash yourself or the time you have to get it with a no good bedik which wiped away and that was no good, and the time you do the regular bedik which is counting in a 15 minute interval. So Rav Moshe is quoted as saying, or Rabbi writes in the Shuvah Zikr Moshe, or maybe Rabbi Ida quotes it. If you look at the Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't sound that way. It really doesn't at all. Absolutely not. The Ramah writes in Siv Gimel, then the day that the Hefsek Tara is made, what does she do? Isha posekas betaras in the Ramah, she tirchats v'lo veshas levonim. Omdem v'lo roch t'rak ponel, she'll mazda daibaka, v'chein nogne v'en nishanas. Which means that you have to do a rechitza. Now it doesn't say specifically that the rechitza has to be done with certain limitations. It says it should be done. It doesn't say it has to be any time gap. It should be done. The impression together that you do a rechitza, and immediately you do Hefsek Tara. The Chazanish is chashash, there is no chashash. Because if she's really seeing dam, by the time you turn around, some drop of blood will come out. And even if right away, you wash out, you wipe out, and then a minute later you put in there the bedikah cloth, nevertheless, if she would be still seeing dam, something would appear on the cloth. Kal v'chomer, if you're doing a moch, ben ha-shmoshes, sitting there 15 minutes, if anything would be there, would turn up on the mo. Most possible to say against the Chazon Ish. The Bere Ashulchan even make him. He's not known for his coolness. So therefore, there are those who could say, it's better to follow Chazon Ish, but if not, then it's not an absolute requirement. Rav Moshe seems to say that theory. Oh, okay. How many times must the Bedika be done? Okay. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Siv Dalet, B'chol Yom, Izayin Yemei Asira, Tzricha Lios, Bodekas L'chadchila, Pa'amayim B'chol Yom. Achas Shachar, Tzviach, Masavak L'ben HaShemot. This is a chumra in the floor, this mechaber. It's an incredible chumra. It comes from Taras. In Taras, you find they do a bedika twice a day. Why? Because they're afraid. You've never done the first Mishnah neither, called Nashim Dayan Shatan, and they're afraid they're going to be the time of all the Truma of the Val. They want to cut off one. You do it twice a day, so it, if you find tumea, so you will not end up throwing so much truma into the garbage can. But that you have to have twice a day for isha lefaila is unheard of. We don't understand where the mechaber got it from. If you look in the Be'er HaGola, it tells you, Misha Shem Sama, Chesem and Beis, Lo Pligat Ha'ala B'di Yevin, Abba Lechat Chila Tzricha B'dika Kol Yom. Maskim! Maskim! Right away I'm maskim Kol Yom. But Pamayim B'Kol Yom? Where'd that come from? Pamayim B'Kol Yom, we say by Shema Yisrael. No, that's what we say to Dominic. Where's Pamayim B'Kol Yom come from? I don't know. So the Mechaber says so, so the Mechaber says so. So whoever follows the Mechaber, Tobo Le'el Broch. However, in my experience, you have a lot of women who too many bedikas, they scratch themselves and they irritate themselves and the chalila gets infection and all kinds of terrible things happen. So I tell a woman that if she doesn't wash, if she has any fear of this happening, she should do a bedika once a day. Once a day, that's the real din. You should do it in the morning. And this way, if you are able to do it again in the afternoon before shkia, because you're not at work and you remember and you're not afraid of infection and you're not afraid of scratches, tough. But I'm not against chashon, the chavon is to do it. But the Mikra Adin, it seems to me, is that if you do once a day, that's the Yotzim Lechatchilim, as the Be'er HaGola says. Twice a day is Gor HaHidur, comes from Taurus. Okay. Says the Mechaber further, Lo Botka B'chol HaShiva, Lo Pamachas, Lo Shna Botka B'yom Rishon Shal Shiva, Lo B'yom Shvi, Lo B'yachan Me'am Tzoyim, B'yachan Shal Botka B'yom Shekonim HaShvi, What's the Torah? All along. Mechaber, the first day it says, as long as you check once for the Evid, within the seven of the Shivanakim, Dayenu. Avalim lo botka, b'chol ha-zayin of Yom HaShmini, botka, motza tohora, ein lo elechetz bulvad of HaShalom HaTov. Forget it. The whole thing starts with, forget about it. If you have the Shivanakim, must be done within the 7 days of the Hefsek. If you did a Hefsek on a Sunday, and you forgot to do Badikas for 7 straight days, it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, next Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, next Thursday. The next Monday you wake up, okay. Had I woken up yesterday, going to the first day of the Mechaba, and then I'm done around Sunday, which is day 7, good. I go to Mikvah that night. So I wake up on Mother's, and I go to Mikvah that night. Oh no. Got to start a week all over again. I got to phone to the following Sunday to go to the Mikvah. So that's bad news. That's according to the first day of the Mechaba. The Yeshamim, Shitzara, Shitivdak, Biyom Rishon, Me'ah Shiva, Uviyom Ashvi, Ve'en Lahok. So the Mechaba goes to another opinion, you have to do at least day 1 and 7, Ve'en Lahok. Ve'en Lahok means that they're very high stakes. If you forgot to do day 7, you walk into the rope on day 8, he'll tell you, start all over again. Why? I did it day 1. No, but the Mechaber passes you day 1 and day 7, according to the second day, in Lahokil. Day 1 and day 7, there can't be more than 5 days in between them. And here you may let 6 days pass, so you have to start from scratch. Same as according to the first day, you have to start from scratch for that 7 days pass. This is what the Shulchan Aruch says. For this reason, I must take exception to that which many, women apparently are taught in certain classes, you know, based on what I just told you before, there's scratches and infections and problems if you were working and so we recommend go right back down to the bare minimum. 1 in 7. After all, 1 in 7, because the evidence is good. So you know, Shasat Chaka the Evidami. In my opinion, it's a terrible mistake. Not only because it's not a big Shasat Chak, but because of another reason. Women forget. And if a woman forgets, she'll come to you on day 8 and say, I forgot to do a hefter on day 7 at night. I was supposed to go to the mikvah tonight, and I stuck in traffic, and now I missed the shkia, and now it's day 7, so I said, well, we'll wait one more day. Oh, no, Rabbi, I didn't do a bedika since day 1, 6 days. Oh, the court would say, now she's out of luck, that's the way the whole week. So therefore, I would never recommend the 1 in 7, never. Aye, but she has scratches, she has this, she has infections, that she can't do every day. Toh? No. There's a way out of that. There's a fail safe. Because the Dogal Meravava says, what happens if she did day 1 and another day? We'll call it day 3, day 4, whatever it may be. And then she did day 8. Then she did day 1, day 2, and day 8. It's obviously good. Why is 1, 2, and 8 obviously good? Forget 1. The 2 and 8 is 1 and 7. But now if I do day 1, day 3, and day 8, you might think, well, it's not exactly right. Because, you know, 1 leads to 7, 3 leads to 9, she did 8, so I have to wait till 9. It's done what others make, even that's good. So I tell the women to do if they have to, if they can't, for whatever reason, helpful or otherwise, they can't do B'dik every day, which they really should, if they can't, let them do day 1, 4, and 7, one in the middle of the Shivanakim. So in case she forgets day 7, then she can do day 8, and she'll be okay. Not less than that, I would never recommend, unless it's really a very unusual circumstance. There are some who, under super unusual circumstances, are willing to be megal based on the first day of the Mechaber. Day 1 is enough. That's like only a Shasat Chagorah or a Shulchan is not a little bit that way. Sidrei Tara talks a little bit about it, but the Chesed and the Chatzchila, it shouldn't even the Yevim, but we don't rely on that in the normal circumstance. Guess not. During the day, thank you very much. Not night. According to the Mechaber, Pashup Shah, happens by day, not by night. Chazanish is Mekel here. People say Chazanish is a big Mach. He's not a Mach, but he's Mekel too. He's Mekel. The whole thing is La'adam. This Chumar they have in the row. Many posts can be happening in particular Dafka by day, not by night. Even if it's raw, it'll be taken by night also. So, but the Mice of the Minigas and Charles, the Chazanish is the Chazchila to follow the Mechaber to by day. And day begins the Chazchila at dawn. B'diyevet at dawn, but the Chatzchila, it begins at sunrise. Because when it comes to the Vest, see next week, it's sunrise and sunset. Not halos and seis. Sometimes even B'diyevet, it's no good before sunrise. Nafkamina. You have the winter time. The sunrise is at 20 after 7. Right? And many women go to work around these days. She's on the subway already. So it's a big problem. So you have to ask a shadow what to do. Is it better to do the B'dika at halos before Shkia? Is it better before nights? Or is it better to do the bidike when she goes to work? You know, it's not in the ideal circumstance, or after the night? It depends on many, many factors. Okay. Now, what's it in if a woman has a problem, which they used to call kartin? What is kartin? Kartin with little spots of red. Some medical condition that she had. That was a big problem to be making with the carton. It's a complicated story. So what do you do? So the Shavuot Yaakov says that in such a circumstance, do a bedika only day one and day seven. Lechatchila. He told the women, you have a problem, your special case, do a bedika one and seven. Come to Sidrei Tara and says, you're mevatel takonas chazal. Can't do it. Not allowed. The Tara puts his hand in the back of the Shulchan Aruch. You know how to do it. No. What does Shavuot Yaakov hold? He also knew about Chazal. So one of two things. I'm not sure which one he held. I don't know if I looked it up in the Shavuot Yaakov. One of two things. One. Not a Chazal. The Beragola says the Diuk. Lo pligi tanoi ala the Bidiyavit. Lo chatchila tzricha b'dik of Chol Yom. Yeah, but that doesn't say anywhere. Doesn't read the Rishon. Don't say it in the Ferish. So not the Mishnah. So there maybe there was no such takon. Or number two, either there is a takon, you can say takon lechatchila. But the yavid we know for sure it doesn't it's not a problem. We have a cloud called shatatchak in the yavid. If it's shatatchak, you're allowed to do lechatchila, that was because you have to the fact with the yavid. How this carton would be a shatatchak. So they say today in the modern world, people have infections and yeast infections and they have problems and scratches and irritations and working, all kinds of shatatchak of different nature. As I kibbet, somebody said, America's one big shatatchak. So you can argue with the committee ever, I mean, and it's enough to have one and seven. I don't recommend it for another reason. You may forget. But even beyond that, you have to be careful before you jump to Shasat Chak. The Chatchila, certainly a woman should check herself every single day of the Shiva Nakim and go to Chatchila twice a day. The same thing applies for the other dim, which is found in the... where's it found? Found in the Ramah in Siv Gimel. Found the Mecharef? Don't know. The Ramah in Siv Gimel makes a reference to what we call Loveshes Levonim. These seven clean days are called in the Gemara Yemei Libuna. Right? And Levonim means white. And therefore the din is in the seventh clean day the woman is supposed to wear white undergarments. Can I be happy in Shulchan Aruch? I don't know. It's probably some reason to that I just don't see it. I read it before? Where did I read it? I just don't see the word Levon in Shulchan Aruch as I'm looking now, but it's a blind spot. Anyway. You have to wear white. Comes Rabbi Akiva Eger and says that although a woman in Shiva Nakim is required to wear white, but if it's a Shatat Chak, there'd be a problem with the Levonim because of the of various problems she's going to have with the, because she has various with Siflat. Siflat. Aleph, Bez, again, which one?
Aleph.
Aleph? I must have read it before, so where is it? Ramah, I know. I'm looking for it in the Shulchan Aruch proper. How can the Shulchan Aruch? I'm just looking. I don't see the Mechab. I mentioned the word Levana. I guess I just assumed. Ramah mentioned it a few times. Kedar Mekivege, although yes, it's true. We know he's supposed to be Levana for the 7 days of the Shiva Nekim. But if there's a problem in achieving the 7 of the Shiva Nekim, then perhaps we can be Mekel and allow her and enable her to wear the Godim Tzivonim, colored garments. What difference begotten tzivonim? We learned last week. Begotten tzivonim. If she sees a stain, she can be mekel. And the poskim say it applies even to the shiva nikiyim. So therefore, we, in the case of shatatchak, we tell the woman she may actually wear colored garments even in the shiva nikiyim. What's called the shatatchak? You have to go for this shot. You can't just jump to these conclusions and say I'm going to cut myself down to the limit. No, I. The Yatzim of Biki Vega, she's a battle of Hakonis Chazal. You have to wear, she's a God of Levana, Paris. Not a Hakonis Chazal. It was customary that way, something which is a good thing, and there's Makaris for it. Ramos said so. But it's not Mahaki, it's Rav Moshe, right? Rav Moshe said the same thing. By the way, the Poskim say, not only should she wear begodim levonim, but she should also have sardinim levonim. Must be. How can it not be? There's a ganz sugis about it. I don't know where it is. She has to wear a white sheets. So, where's the one with the white sheets? Well, I can't find anything today. Give them all down. Vanished. The Bari HaShulchan says, that his man hazeh is not necessary. Why not? Because his man hazeh, the women wear tight-fitting undergarments. Tight-fitting undergarments. And therefore, anything which could come out of a body would be spotted on the undergarments. So therefore, even shalobah shatatchak, there's no need to wear to have white sheets. In my house, there are no white sheets, period. It doesn't exist. It's finished. You have shadows of a woman, she made a mistake, she had a white sheet on, and it shouldn't have. We have shilas and nices and this and that. What do you need it for? So you don't really need to make a redin. It's a colored sheet. For some women, of course, I mentioned this last week, they have these flower patterns. You know, it's half white and half flower. It looks like a Russian roulette. Will the dandy turn on the flower or on the white? That's crazy. So you got plain blue sheets. Yes?
She has the hot. She's not wearing white undergarments. She has white sheets.
Well, she has the hot. So tell her to put on the undergarments that you won't have to have the white sheets. It's better that way. Cheaper also. The din, Rabosai, is that a woman has to be conscious and aware of her shiva nikiyim. I mentioned to you at one point, I forgot, I will let them suffer, but the shalom, his chashiva dalak was the famous hagon hakodesh bal shalom. Hitzuch shebi mei sviyas nikiyim tinder b'chol yom v'tomah hayom yom rishon the shiva nikiyim. Shenem t'chiv esaf v'loh. And I said, it's not necessary. We pass it, it's not required. But what is required, the Pesach Shiva and Sifkat Gil from the Mil Tzaka, is an awareness that she's in the Shiva Nekim. For one of two reasons. Either because if she's unaware, she may actually see Dham and not pay any attention to it. Mil says, L'ram Elinish Lava Daitri, Gemara says. Or no, it's a halacha. The Sarf Allah, the Din Bekumba say, you actually have to know that it's one of the 7 days clean days. Not Kamina. What happens if you forgot about it being Shiva Nekim for 6 hours and you woke up? Let's say, for example, the following case. You had a shayla, and you, this happened very easily. A woman had a shayla, she saw a stain of shiva nikiyim. She thought it's sure no good. She gave up, forget it, I have to wait another day. Then her husband comes home, and she tells him, you know, forget it, this shayla today, it's all over. Let me see it. What do you mean? Bring it to the rav, maybe it's good. So bring it to the rav late afternoon, and it's good. So now we say she lost the day of Shiva Nekim, because those 6 hours she was convinced, she had no doubt in her mind it was no good. Or should we say no? Should she recovered in time, so it's good? So that depends what the pshat builds up. If the pshat is that it's because it's you weren't aware, you didn't think about it, that's no good in this case too. Most Poskim say no, because the day didn't count. As long as for 1 hour of the 24, or at least 1 hour of the 12 by day, you're still in Sfira Bayom, so that she thought it was good, then it's all right. So even in this case, it's more amazing. She thought everything was fine. 10 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday, she has the Shaila, and they say they want to ship in the Kiyam. She says, oh, no good. So she responded that she has to wait another day. Her husband comes home 10 o'clock at night, tells her the story, says, let me see. Brings it up tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock. It's good. He calls up his wife, it's good. So now she's, okay, great. She does the bedikah later on, and then 3 o'clock, and it's good. She lost nothing. Even though for 28 hours she thought that it was no good, it doesn't matter, because she had part of the of Tuesday she thought that it was okay, the first part, and part of Wednesday, the last part. So that's the way most postal learn the Mil Tzachim. Even that gets to be good. Pashas. Certainly she's misupekel, she's in doubt whether it's good or no good, which is no circumstance of this nature. We don't say it would ruin the din of Shimon HaKim. Any questions? That's right. Fine. Mako. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Sifkan Gimel. The Kufs, all Kufs tie you up today. Mako. What happened in the case of a Mako and the Shimon HaKim? We discussed last week that the woman had a Mako. You have a right to be Mekel and say that the dam comes from the Maka, and therefore you should not make her an Isha Nida. But after she's already a Nida, and she wants to get out of the state of Nida, she requires Shiva Nakiyim. But guess what gets in the way? The Maka. She's trying to make the Dikas, and every time she bumps into this Maka, she keeps seeing dam on the eighth Bidika. Every single time. What's the din? The Pesach Chuvah is called Nekot from the Chasam Sofer, that you can be Mekel as long as you know in your mind, you're quite sure there's no argosh, it's dam, it must come from the mak. Even though there are poskim who are more machmir, such as the Chavaz Das, you keep running into the Chavaz Das, a little bit called Chaim, wherever we run into him, from the Gedolei Hador of Yaakov Elisa, but the Barei HaShulchan, here he is, the machmir. He says, well, if each and every time she sees the Bedika, on the Bedika cloth, the dam in the same corner, the same side, that's enough of the circumstantial evidence to prove to us that in fact the dam is coming from the makor and is not coming from the makor, and therefore it counts for the shiva nakiyim as well. However, we did mention last week that ordinarily you require a makor shiyadua. You have to know there's a makor there. Once there's a makor there, then you can assume that the dam comes from coming from that makor. If you have no idea, no basis in fact whatsoever to assume it's a makor. None. Just that this dam comes on one side by itself, that's no proof, because maybe just comes from that angle or something. Some other evidence, which you have to quote the Eskarov, then there's room to be Mekel in such a circumstance. I remember why I once had a case of a woman who was getting married. And she kept seeing that, it was impossible. And it was thought that maybe she had some kind of a yeast infection, something of this nature, which can happen. So she had to say that in all these circumstances, what happened was, she used a tampon. A tampon was something which is inserted by a woman, which is shaped something like a little bit like a finger, and it goes into the osa makom, into the vaginal area, and she put it in, and every single time it came out on the side. On the side, not the tip of the tampon up towards the uterus, but on the side, towards the bottom, on the same side. They pull it out, no one's on the side. So on this basis, we went to a very chosh of a rov, and I don't want to be taking any chance in this case. He was matir. Just on that basis alone, it wasn't raya berura that was coming from this infection, and not from the mokar. And therefore, there was the ground to be made. That was the shayla. 10 years later, the same couple, the same shayla. Question. They thought maybe it was from the makar. So remember, put in a tampon and see what happens. If the tampon comes, shows up, comes time. Sorry, they came and said, sorry to say, it's going up. The tampon is clean. And usually the tampon is clean, gewaldig. No, they wanted it to be dirty. They wanted it to have a red spot on the side. And it would have been ground to the interior of Kamen Lorem to assume that it was the Dominamaka. But it wasn't. It was perfectly clean. So in that case, we couldn't be Maka. We didn't have enough to go on to assume that it was a Maka. couldn't, we couldn't. We had to be machmir. But I'm just telling you that's one of the tzedakah to be making. And it really comes from the Ramah in Kuf Tzadi Aleph, which we mentioned a little bit last week. She assumed the damah coming from the Meiraglayim. There's some kind of sophisticated bedika to go on the side and pull in the front. The whole song, long story, to establish that in fact the damah coming from the side, not from the makor, and that way you can be making. However, I want to add one more thing. To use a tampon for a hefsek tara in general terms is not allowed. Why? Because the Shulchan Aruch tells us how this has to be done. How this hefsek tara must transpire. The Shulchan Aruch is the Sif Vav. Kol v'dikas elemen v'dikas hefsek tara v'dikas kol shiva tzrich liyos v'beged pishtan lovan yoshan or b'tzem again, which means cotton. V'tach nisteno v'ol somakom v'omek l'chorim v'lisdokim. What does it mean, the chorim or the stokim? Chorim is something that's translated often as nooks and crannies. And the little cracks in the vaginal lining, there are always little areas there. If you go, traditionally what the woman does is she takes an aid b'dika, it's a b'dika cloth. B'dika cloth you can buy in the mikvah. But she makes sure that it's soft. If you can't buy in the mikvah, what you do is you take your old t-shirt, wash it well. And then after it's been washed many times, it gets very soft and less likely to cause any scratch or irritation. You rip up a t-shirt, you make a 10 bedikah cloth out of it. That's what should be done. And this is done, the woman takes it, she puts it around the finger. The finger is completely surrounded by this cloth. And then she inserts it in the vaginal area. She goes around and around to check out the chorim and the stokim to make sure there's no nook and cranny which is undetected, there's not blood in it. That'll be terrible. So therefore she goes around and around to make sure it's completely clean. That's what the hefsek tara is all about. A tampon can't do that. By definition, it's thick, it's not pliable, and therefore it's not a way to do a hefsek tara. This aid bedika. Oh, we'll come to that. We'll come to that. This aid bedika should be something which is completely white, of course, and should be checked in advance for spots or stains. How many times do I have a case of a shadow woman who does a bedika and it comes out with a spot? And goes, wait a minute, maybe the spot was there before I put it in. You'll always notice that the woman checks much, much more carefully after she put it in than before she put it in. Of course, because she assumes it's clean. But you know, there are mistakes. There could be red hairs on it that came from somewhere. Some maybe red threads. All kinds of things come from nowhere. Just get a magnifying glass to make sure that it's really a thread. It's very complicated. Just check in advance. We check very carefully before it's inserted. Anyway, some of the women find it irritating to insert this the aid bedika. So that if she is necessary, she can wet it. Wet is a little bit lubricant. Moshe goes as far as they could even put Vaseline on it. That's not so posh. The Vaseline could alter the color of any damage seen on it. Not so posh. Now, the mechaber goes beyond that. Not only do you require foreigners stuck in, but you also require admakom shashamish dosh, which means basically as far as the woman can extend her finger, that's as far as she has to do the has to have to go all the way and as far as she can reach. Now, many poskim say that this is not ma'akev. This idea about makom shashamish, they bring a raya. The raya is from a kala. A kala basula, simply by the anatomy of the dam basula, is not able to insert the date bedika so deep into the area. So therefore, and we know a kala basula is put on the barrel. That's a fact. Otherwise, you couldn't get started. So therefore, we see from this that it's not ma'akev b'di'evet, the idea of makom shashamish dosh. However, the post can discuss what about the chorim b'sdok? True, that is makom b'di'evet, because that's possible, except before by kala. It's the chorim b'sdok which are outside the b'sulim, and afterwards it's even what's inside the b'sulim. But you still need some measure of chorim b'sdok. Perhaps. Some say even that's not makom b'di'evet, the question. What about the moch dokuk? Can a moch dokuk substitute for a b'dikas chorim b'sdokim? So the Pesach Shuvah test was another beauty. The answer is yes. It can substitute for b'dikas chorim b'sdokim. However, in my opinion, and I have to tell you, this is my own opinion, I'm not sure if it's right, I have to look at another Svarim. I'm not sure that what we have in Chalal is called Noch Dochuk. Moch, yeah, but Dochuk, no. What does the word Dochuk mean? Just translate the word. What does Dochuk mean?
Pushed.
More than that. Pressure. Shasat Chak, under pressure. What does Moch? What does Moch Dochuk mean in the literal sense? They had the whole Osam Mokum, and they put it, and they weren't so sophisticated in those days. They took. Now we had the Sugar Shalosh Noshim Mishamshus Mamoch, Kunun Lansir and Subis. That's about Moch Dochuk. They took a whole, you know, what we say today, it goes, you buy these big things of cotton. You know, you buy it, they take a whole handful, and it would be inserted into that, into Osam Mokum. It would fill up the entire cavity. It would make sure that she couldn't become pregnant when it was used in that context. And it was used a week earlier. It literally rubbed against all the surfaces of the area. It's filling up everything. Look, if it's going to work for contraception, that means it's filling up every last. There's no way in, no way through, nothing. So that's a Moch Dochuk. So then I think that the Pesachim Shuv is right. That Moch Dochuk substitutes for Chorvus Dochuk for a simple reason. It touches every Chorvus Dochuk. The thing is that it's Manas there, from little that I know about the Minhag HaNoshim, nobody does that. Nobody uses the cotton to fill up the entire area. I never heard of it. What do they do? One of two things? Either they insert an apodika and they leave it in there for half an hour, whatever, they leave it in there. Or there's a tampon. But from what I understand, neither an apodika nor even a tampon will have that same dachkus, if you will, against the stodebe aprozo. It just won't work because it's not meant to do that. So although I think it's a very important thing, it should be done, the Torah is Moch, and Moch is an Indian, but to call it Moch Dochuk, I don't know. I'm just making me a shayla, because I'm a Geheim HaMachver against the Rav Moshe, against the Bali HaShulchan Gor. He really seems to agree that the Eid Medigah Council of Moch Dochuk within this purpose. And I don't know. I'm very, very hesitant to rely on this cooler. I can't. I have to tell you, what can I do? I have to tell you the way I see it. Bein l'kula, bein l'churma. I wouldn't want to rely on something. Rav Moshe has certain exceptional circumstances. Stop the sulim and down this, maybe for shasat chak. But Sam, I would never want to do. You have to do a regular bedik. This regular bedik, I want to re-emphasize one more time, must be done before shkir. Before shkir. Somebody had the following case. A regular bedik was done before shkir, and it was taken out, and she put in another tampon or a moch to be the Ben HaShemoshes. The first one is no good, and the moch is good. So what's it in? According to Rav Moshe, you could argue that it's okay, because the moch was inserted before Ben HaShemoshes, and it was there for a while, came out clean, even though the first one was no good, but the second one will count for Efsek Tara. Laniya's diocese is very questionable. I don't think it's considered to be a moch dochuk, as I said to you before. Again, maybe Shasat Chak, we can make a little bit, bend the rules a little bit, but it's certainly not a chaschil that rely on such a hefstig, in my opinion. You have to have a dika which goes to Chorma Vistok. And our moch, I don't think it's considered to be dochuk. And therefore, to my mind, it's a serious issue. Yeah. I want to explain one more thing before we end. And that is, this halacha, we mentioned it before, about the 5 days as an absolute requirement. The Poskim say there are certain circumstances when we can be merchel on the fifth day and say it's enough to have 4 days. We mentioned before about a kala, the dam besulim, that's true. We'll get to that in 2 weeks, Mr. Shem. But there are other days. I think if I'm not mistaken, Rav Moshe is a tshuva about a situation of a bungalow colony. I don't know exactly the details of the bungalow, but it's one of those summer cases where if she'd wait 5 plus 7, for the husband would be back in the city anyway, the whole week. I forgot, maybe it was Shabbos. I don't even remember the details of the case. So, we'll get to that later. Different issue. We'll get to that in 3 weeks. The Rav Moshe says, look, the 5 plus 7 is certainly the heroes which we should. The Ramah expresses himself in very strong terms. In very strong terms. He says that the din is, the chen noagim b'chol b'dinas elu, to add the extra day, and even if Shalosh Shimshon and Baila, it says again, Ve'ein L'Shanas. Chenom Yisrael Ve'ein L'Shanas. Yeah, that's in the normal circumstances, but if there could be something exceptional, then in the unusual case, it is somewhat unusual, if the woman can clear up the dam in 4 days, then Rav Moshe says it is what to rely upon. Again, after a Shalosh Rav, to have 4 plus 7. But that's very unusual. The rule is always 5 plus 7. And the rule, women see 5 days. So therefore, that doesn't really make a difference whether you have this chum or not, because you have to be machmer anyway. The Shimon Akim themselves, you have to have the 5 plus 7 in most circumstances. Are there any questions? Yes.
Perhaps the idea that you mentioned out there, this is inherent, that let's say she waited 5 days, started counting Shimon Akim, and then either saw a transit between or saw blood
okay,
again.
Okay, very good.
Just wait 7.
Very good, very good. Okay, excellent. Excellent. You're very good. We mentioned the case of a woman, everything goes smooth. And I made a fleeting reference in the Zerub, in the case of a woman sees in the middle of the 7 days, that's what the fly of the Deacon of Daf got done in the afternoon. Correct. The Chum and the Kula. Number one, you should know, it's obvious, but I want to say it again outright, the 7 days have to be consecutive. Okay, 2 clean days, we're going to have a Dam. 2 clean days, we're going to have Dam. 3 days, 2 plus 2 is 3, 7. Zochala. Doesn't work that way. You have to have Shiva Nikim, and if not, it's just what's called Sotra. She sees anytime in the 7 days, Dam, boom, start all over again. On the other hand, if you start all over again, you don't have to start 5 plus 7 over again. You have to start 7 over again. It's a very interesting question. What happens if a woman, Shadows unfortunately do happen sometimes. She's already at the mikvah, and the 7 clean days are already over. And now she sees Dam at the mikvah. Either before the tefillah or after the tefillah, it's a big problem. So, what can you do? But you have to count now again, 5 plus 7, or just 7. If she didn't go to the mikvah yet, the answer is only 7. Even though the 7 days were already over, already, you don't have to wait 7. If she went to the mikvah, she never was home yet. So the chorus, she said, what do you want? There's a question whether when the low plug applies, when it doesn't apply. That's a complication you have to discuss. But of course, these shadows, we hope, shouldn't happen, because that's certainly not a normal course of events, and it's not a pleasant course of events. I should add at the end what I mentioned last week, that in these shilas, as well as what we discussed before, we'll discuss in the future, a person should not say about the looks, a shilas, it's a machloikis, the tum. We'll be ma. Go to chumra. No. No. There are no chumras in this area, because every chumra is a kula. It's a kula and bittul peruvu and bittul mitzvahs ona, and many other things, and chalila could do to other negatives. So therefore, individuals should follow the din. I'm not telling you to be mekel, oh no. But it should be ma'amrida. You have to ask by a Rav Shaila and find out what's the din. You shouldn't just say, I'm not going to ask any questions. I'm embarrassed to ask a question. I want to be machmer, I'm a yeshiva bach, I'm a ben Torah. None of this ben Torah story. Ben Torah follows the din. The din is that what we have to do, what the din says, not check straight, then yomen is small. Either way. Okay, well, this will stop. Mishnah next week, we'll get to discuss the Indian of best. The discussion of the concept of Vestos. Shitzorach Lifrosh Meisha Onakot on the Vesta. It's the name of the Siddur, Sufay Dalit. What is a vest? A vest is a cycle, an anticipated time when a period is expected. And Shulchan Aruch begins by saying, Rov Nashim Yeshnam Vestos. Pirish man kavua ora kanashim. Liros bisman yadua. Yom eshrim yom, yom elamid yom. And this is what's called the vesis kavua. Kalisha yesha vesis kavua, etc., etc. The fact of the matter is that nowadays it's no longer true. Nowadays most people do not have vesis kavua. What changes between then and now? Don't ask me. But the fact changed. That's the bottom line. This robe nashim, vesis kavua, no longer holds nowadays. That's just not so. Okay, so Vesis, let's take a Vesis Kavua just for a start with that, has two halach ramifications. One is Prisha, Sarach Lifrosh, that the Hashmish is prohibited, B'Shaz Vest. What kind of din is this? What level of din is this? So the Gemara bases it on a Pasuk. And the pasuk is v'izatem et b'nei Yisrael b'tumasa. And there's a question whether it's really a din gomor or an asmachta, a din derabbanan. Most poskim hold is derabbanan. Manach gemina is derabbanan. Number one, sveik al hakel. The discussion in Siv Dalet, if it's a suffix before the sunrise, after the sunrise, so we can go to Kula. Number two, if it's the Rabbanan, there could be exceptions to the rule. Heim Amru v'Heim Amru. One of the rishonim in the Rabbanan, as the Gemara says, that Harotz Alotz L'Derech, it's quoted here in Siv Yud, it's in Kufay Dalet, Zorech Livko Nitz Ishto V'Afilu Samach L'Vesta V'Afilu B'Tash Meshorim. So the fact of Tashmish is Mutter, how can it be to Nisa Daraisa? So based on that, many Rishonim say that you see that Vestas is the Rabbon. Others disagree and say that although it says Tzorach Livko, doesn't mean it, just Divrei Ritzui, doesn't mean Divrei Kurva, doesn't mean actual Tashmish. But that's a Machlokas, both days are found in Sif Yud and Shulchan Aruch and Tzimukul Peidah. So again, it's a Machlokas, Vestas Daraisa, the Rabbon, and in this context of the Chiyah Prisha. Most poskim say that the ichi of Prisha is midirabbanan. It's nafkamina number one for a vest. Number two, bedika. Bedika. The woman who was shas vest has to do a bedika. We already discussed bedika in a different context. The bedika of the hefsektara and the bedika of the shiva nikim. Now we're discussing in the context of a shas vesta, which there is a requirement. Shulchan Aruch says to do a bedika b'shas vesta. The truth of the matter is, it's not so clear that such a din exists. In the Rambam it's not found. If you look at the Gemara, it's not so clear. Tosfos says it's mashma, it's a din lechatchila to do a bedika. Others say no, you don't have to do a bedika, only one thing. If you didn't do a bedika, she's a surah levaila subsequent to this man. So you may say, it's a mother do a bedika. Well, not necessarily, because very often the situation is as follows. We've discussed in the past that very often a woman has certain staining before the period, a few dates, and during that period of time, if it's before the actual onset of the flow, so it depends. If the kesem, which is seen on white and more than a gris, is the kabel tumah, and then she's a surah lebaila, even though there's no hargasha. If, however, it doesn't meet all those criteria, and she's muteris lebaila. However, if she will do a bedika during that time, it's very possible that the bedika will pick up red. And on a bedika cloth, the halacha is that there's an absolute prohibition, even draws people down to chardal, even if it's very tiny, less than the gris. Nevertheless, there is a prohibition. The woman may want to say, why should I do a bedika at this point? Let me wait until let nature take its course and see what happens. Now, in my opinion, a woman is permitted to do so. However, this is my opinion in this matter. Such a time when before the anticipated vests, when there are certain stains and she feels that if she will do a bedika, they will in fact come out red, but she's not mechuyev to do a bedika, as we discussed before, and that's what we're coming to now. What about the actual time of the veses this year? She's not mechuyev. During that period of time, in my opinion, she has the effective status. Nevertheless, I believe that tashma should not take place on the grounds that there's also this very strong chance that that there may be a flow about to come. More than that, or in addition to that, I should say, the possibility that in tashmish the small amount of red, which was effectively ignored because it was on a colored garment, it was the lihar gosha, etc., etc., may in fact become apparent on the body. Those days. That's the question. So the Shulchan Aruch says, yes, when the actual owner comes, we'll discuss later what the owner is, but that's an event that's kavu. Every single month she sees in a span of, let's say, 30 days. Every day, 30th day, 30th day. Every single month she sees the 30th day. Then when the next 30th day arrives, she'd be required to do a bedika. And even though this bedika will mean that perhaps she will have a status of nida a couple of days. during those days? That's the question. So the Shulchan Aruch says, yes, when the actual owner comes, we'll discuss later what the owner is, well, that's an event that's kavua. Every single month, she sees it in a span of, let's say, 30 days. Every day, 30th day, and 30th day. Every single month, she's the 30th day. Then when the next 30th day arrives, she'd be required to do a bedikah. And even though this bedikah will mean that perhaps she will have a status of nida a couple days before what she would otherwise have it, this is for argument's sake, nonetheless, it's a requirement. That's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. That's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. I should add, as I said before, to machlokas. And others say, no, there's no such thing of a bedikah in Bishat Vesna. Either Gemara, there's a Gemara in the Sephardim of Design, no, something else. She's a Vesna's Kavua, and she didn't do a bedikah, then she's prohibited to have tashrus with her husband. But as you said before, she may be realized she's anyway not going to be able to have tashrus with her husband, but she's staining. As I told you before, she's staining, it's not, in my opinion, the tashrus is not allowed anyway. So she'd rather skip the bedikah. Nope. So then we'll have to discuss whether that's permissible or not. If there's an absolute halacha that you're a zechiv and you can't skip it, you have to do it. Even if it means that there'll be a status of need of some few days earlier. Yes, sir. Oh. So the Shulchan Aruch says that in general terms, whenever we're talking about the chumrah of Prisha, the Shas Vesta, the Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Beis, v'lo mishar krevos ala mitash mishar mita b'vav. That the shar krevos, even chivuk and nishuk, is permissible at the time of the onet aves. Only the actual tashmish is permissible, and that's the psak halacha, the Shulchan Aruch. You know, the Bari HaShulchan quotes that the shach and others are machmir lechatchila, are machmir lechatchila. As far as the chivuk and nishuk proper, lishan and lamita proper. But the other harachavos, which we're going to discuss next week, about handing things to etc., that's why you don't have to go. But that, even that's a chumrah. So we follow the Shulchan Aruch and make it right in. Everything is mutter, except for tashmish. So therefore, this woman may not want to do this bedikah now. But now it's permitted in the chibuk and nishuk and kiruv and everything except for tashmish. She does the bedikah, she's going to end into a status of nidus a couple of days early. And she'd just rather not do it. According to the Ramban, indeed, that says Zion, the impression clearly conveys she doesn't have to do it. Only one thing, she does the batashmish. Fine, okay, I'll accept that. But the Shulchan Aruch passage is not that way. The Shulchan Aruch is the passage, is an absolute requirement to do a bedik. That's what says the Shulchan Aruch. Are there any loopholes around this? Possibly. And it's not exactly clear. I'll tell you there's the context over here. When do you do a bedik? Exactly when? The Shazvet, okay, what is Shazvet? So it used to be in the good old days, a woman could tell you exactly when the period is going to be. 12 o'clock, high noon. That's how it is, that clockwork. It's amazing. Today, that kim'at does not exist. Almost doesn't exist at all. It's a clockwork of, you know, 12 o'clock, high noon, that's the period that it comes. It doesn't exist. I should say it doesn't exist. Almost doesn't exist. So then when is the bedikah done? It used to be 12 o'clock. Hear the clock strike noon, bing, it's time to do a bedikah. But not a business anymore. So the best we can manage, because the Vesna's Kavua, is a Vesna's Kavua within a particular time zone. And the official time zone is called an owner in Lashon Chazal. He's so treated. The word owner is to be so careful with it. Sheira Tusav Ona, so you know what that means. And he means something completely different. Of course, they both have the same shorish. Owner means really time. The owner means it will be called a day or night. Sunrise to sunset, or sunset to sunrise. That's going to be 12 hours. Some of which are different. That's called an owner. And if she's expecting a period in a particular owner within a particular 12-hour period, that's the time which is called Shazvet. If all the chumras of Prisha applies during that 12-hour time zone, and the Chiyah Bedikah must take place within that 12-hour time zone. But when? Chiyah Prisha, we understand it's from the beginning of the time zone to the end of the time zone. What do you do about the Chiyah of Bedikah? To the son of Machmirim, believe it or not, the son of Machmirim would say that she has to have a mold, dochok in for the entire time zone, the entire owner of to the 12 hours approximately, etc. We don't pass it that way, yes? We'll get to that later. So we don't pass it that way. The Chavadash can say that way. We don't accept that as a rule. He said even 3 days, because there are more of the chumra, that the period moves a little bit. 3 days, even on the bed. That's, I mean, We don't accept that. So when do you have to do a bedikah during the time period? Pashtus, any time. Anytime you want. The beginning, the middle, the end. It's a chiyuv bedikah. So you do a bedikah, that's all. The pashtus, the best time to do the bedikah would be towards the end of the, I would say it depends. Depends, that's my opinion. If it's by day, it's better to do the bedikah till the end of the day to make sure that nothing happens during an entire day. If it's by night, so then it's probably better to do the, well, I don't know, it's by night, it depends. Many people don't get up in time to do the end of the night. You know, Baba the Saint of Arava, we get up after the sun rises, many of us. So what can I say? We're up there at 6 o'clock. So I would say, if it's by day, it's better to do it as possible towards the end of the day. Of course, it's also something that's not possible. If a woman is going to work, and it's inconvenient, and that she's at work when it comes to the Shkia. So again, the Tiani is like, as long as you do it during 1 minute of that time zone of 12 hours approximately, that's called the owner of the Vetus, it's okay. Oh. So here is a line in the Sefer Bali HaShulchan, which is interesting, and I'm not sure how to read it. That's why I was looking for the Eidus here, because I'm pretty sure he quotes from Moshe too. I'll have to look it up and see exactly what it says. In this discussion of exactly what time of the day should this bedikah take place, so the Sefer Bali HaShulchan is Beyurin. In the Beurim, the beginning of the wide line, the page Yud Dalet, whoever has it, it's going on Sif Tes, Sif Kufay Dalet, is the following line. Omnam Evsha. The first, he has to get the context straight. First he says, Ubifnim Kosavna Shetova Livdo Gamkin Achash Orva Vare Onis Avesis Losses Yudeit Kol Av Shoshim. In other words, the question is, with the beginning, in the middle, in the end, well, the best thing to do, he says, aside from anything you should did earlier in the day, to do it the very when the time is up, when the day is over, it's already into the night, just to make sure nothing happens. Then he adds, but on that Efsha, Shimlo Veshit with the same Kitsorim the Kim, Ama Udokil the Sora, she's wearing tight undergarments. Sagi Bazet, this is sufficient. The Ain Sora lived on Akasha Orbra on Asa. She's the Atma Havik Ibidika, the Ilu Bob Vesta is a Motis Kestam Alam with the sign. If she's wearing tight fitting undergarments, if it's down, would have come, she would have noticed it. That's a line which is found in the middle of a long paragraph. And my question, what did he mean? Did he mean, in general, that undergarment is sufficient? Or did he mean, no? You have to have a particular what he calls Chorim Usdok, which we discussed last week. As he writes in the Pnim in the days, Bidika and the Bidika Chorim Usdok. He quotes that from the Chavazat and the Sri Tara. Maybe he only meant that for this extra added precaution during the bedikah after the fast is over, then and only then do we say that the time for the undergarments suffice, not for the actual bedikah. I have to look at Rabbi Moshe, because I've been similar quoted by Rabbi Eider in the Sefer. I don't have it with me this morning. Someone, I'm making you a shalucha to look out for me and see exactly what it says. Come back next week and see what it says about that. After Mina, perhaps we could argue the woman all she has to do is with most of her tight fitting undergarments, that might suffice to exempt one from this bedikah completely. But I'm not really, I don't think he really means that. I'm not sure what Moshe says, but we'll leave that debate for the moment. Yes? The Chokos the Plan that reply in the answer. That's the same. We should be applied no matter what. Even if you do it, even if you do it, then you go on out. Right, that's why it's probably better to do it later in the day. Maybe later is possible. It's too hard for us. After it's over? I don't even think so. I don't think so. I think Lania Zaitu, once the Chazal is talking at Chiyu Bedika, and once the Chazal is Chiyu Bedika, and she doesn't do it the last second of the day, Tapa, she was going to see Chiyu. She didn't see anything, so I think we can officially be naked. Well, no, I have to see the sign. Before I see the sign, I don't want to say anything. For sure, she didn't check the Shas Vesta, she must check the next day, otherwise she's not permitted to live with her husband. You want to know the difference there. Let's say she forgot to check the next day, she's not living with her husband. Because she's, whatever reason, she's in the coach, anyone has a beer. So then she required to build the Zika now after the day passed or not? That's a good question. I'm not sure. I really don't know the answer to that question. Okay. So let's put the Bidika aside for the moment. When is the actual... one more thing. There's such a thing called a Veses She'ena Kavua. What does it mean, Veses She'ena Kavua? That's the most common phenomenon today. Veses She'ena Kavua means the woman does not have a period which is set. How would it be set? How many intervals are needed to make it set? Three. Three make a chazaka. But you see that at 30-day intervals, or 29, or 32, or whatever number, three intervals in a row of the same duration, then a vesis kavua is established. And the halakha we've been discussing until now apply to a vesis kavua. Yes, the chiyuv of frisha and the chiyuv of bedika. What about, let me add another word. A woman has no vesis kavua, there's a din of ona beinonis. The details of which we'll discuss soon. According to many poskim, most poskim, ona beinonis has a status of a vesis kavua.
No,
I'm dealing with something else. We're increasing.
In a row, three times.
We'll come to that later. One second. So, ona beinonis means the average ona. That is the status of a vesis kavua. We'll discuss the process details in a moment. But now, this woman has a vesis haflaga she'ena kavua. What does that mean? That's most women today. Sometimes they'll see 31 days, sometimes 29 days, sometimes 32 days, sometimes 28, sometimes 30. All right, they're within a certain range, but it's not exact. And to tell the truth, it's very difficult to establish a vesis kavua. According to Vipaskin, a vesis kavua must take place not only the same interval in terms of days, but the same time zone, which means either day or night. Which means it has to be the three times in a row, four times in a row actually, three intervals. Make it simple. Three times in a row by day, or three times in a row by night, and the same exact interval. It doesn't happen too frequently. So if she has a vesis she'ena kavua, so we pass the halacha, there exists the chiyuv of prisha. The chiyuv of prisha. She may not be with her husband, I mean, the tash is prohibited. So last period came at an interval of 29 days, so 29 days after that one, she's also prohibited to live with her husband. Hashem is prohibited. What about Bedika? Is there a chiyuv of Bedika in the case of a Veses She'eino Kavua? The big machlokes. A big machlokes. Some say yes, some say no. The Taz, the Beis Yosef fight it out. If you look at the Ravid and the Ramban, it's mashmash, in my opinion, it's Mutter and Nifar, I claim that there's no such obligation. Halacha l'maisa. Veses of the Chalal d'Rabbanan. Veses She'eino Kavua d'Rabbanan d'Rabbanan. And therefore, to the suffix and the level of the Rabbanan, as far as the Bedika, the Veses She'eino Kavua, in my opinion, there's no need to do it. So the only time that Bedika would actually require the Halacha l'maisa would be either in the Veses Kavua, which is rare, or in the Ona Beinonis, which we're discussing momentarily. Fine. The famous chumra of the Ors of Ruah. That's called Ona Asama Pleves. What does that mean? That means, let's say for argument's sake, that the period is expected by day. She sees every Sunday, every 4 weeks, okay? Every Sunday, she's every 28 days, she sees a big day. Sunday, and the next 4 weeks of Lent, Sunday, and this is going on for a year. All right? The mouth is clockwork. So, the question is there an Issa Tashmish the night before, Motzei Shabbos? Yes or no? The Parshat Pshat the Gemara is no. Parshat Pshat. But the Or Zeruah says yes. It's a famous Chumas Or Zeruah. And the question is this Chumas Or Zeruah required? Must it be followed or not? Well, big machlokes. The Shulchan Aruch seems to say no. Shulchan Aruch seems to indicate that the only time that there's any prohibition is the Shas Vesta. Shulchan Aruch is clear. Umutta kol alayla shelafana. if the period is affected by day, the night before is permissible. The Shach quotes the Chumash or the Ruah, and the previous owner is also prohibited. What's the din? Halacha l'maisa? Huh? Yei shekas halacha l'atah shulchan aruch? Quotes many achronos anyway. Chazanish is quoted as saying so. Then others say no, we should follow like a Shach. So it seems to me that even if a person wants to be machmir, and I'm not telling you should be machmir, even if a person wants to be machmir, the chumash should be limited to a versus kavua. Versus kavua is more serious, more strict. And perhaps to an owner bainanis. Owner bainanis is a matter of fact, there are some posts in the crazy place of your intonation who says that owner bainanis, which is treated as a versus kavua, according to the crazy place, is even more common than versus kavua. Vestis kavua meikir adin is only 12 hours, whereas the owner bainanis, according to the crazy place, meikir adin is 24 hours. Although there are many posts who disagree with it. Nevertheless, someone wants to be machmir, yesh mokom lahachmir, I can see it. As opposed to a vestis she'ein a kavua, where the whole din is very questionable. The prisha is itself not so clear. We follow the halakh l'mais, of course. But to extend it for an extra 12 hours beforehand, it seems to me to be a chumri yaseira. Chumri yaseira is not allowed in these matters, the general rule. Some even claim that the whole din of Vestis Shena Kavua today is under some question, because if you look at the Gemara, the reason for the Chumra Vestis Shena Kavua is because we're afraid it'll lead to a Kavua. You know, everything has to start somewhere. So meanwhile, Shena Kavua, the last interval was 29 days. Oh, now we have to worry, it's going to come to be three in a row. Let's start already now. What was the last prayer? It's 29 days pattern. This man has that, some posts say, since regularity is so infrequent, so there's some grounds to be a little lean, whatever to dispute it, Machloikas. So that's one of the reasons I feel there's no need to do a Bezika. Because the Machloikas and the Zahra Zirabonis, plus the other section of Zorah. So too with the preacher of the Vestas, on a sum of the Vestas, I think there's room to be Mekel in the Vestas She'ena Kavua. Vestas Kavua, and on the pain it is, there's more room to be Mekel for those who wish to do so. Yes, sir.
So, rather than like you always had the
charge. Yeah, Vada. A chart. And now it's on a computer program. The Vestos program. We have a computer man, they can give you a copy. And they sum up all the chumras. They program all the chumras into the actual computer. You know, after all, the computer only tells you what you spit out, you put in. I know, that option, right. You want to follow the chumra, the crazy place, and the chumra, the other rule. They need a program up there for this
program also.
Well, you rip up the first before you start the second. Yes?
First of all, the Shach doesn't seem to say, like, ours was applied to 12 hours of blackout screwing, not the whole time period. Okay, so if someone wants to say he's following the Shach, he's getting on the whole, but the day period, the night period beforehand, he's being stricter than the Shach.
Okay, bye. The Vestas is established upon the Shulchan Aruch at the onset of the period. Chilas Ariyah. In Vesta Nimshach Beis Ol Gimel Yomim B'Shofas Ol Mezalefes Ein Atzricha Plifrosh El Ona Rishon Shel Vestas Sivva Kufay Dalet. That's very important, but it's sometimes difficult to pinpoint exactly when does the period begin. Because the expression is shofas al mezalefes, when it flows or it leaks. So flow, we know what a flow is. But what happens if it starts off, you know, with a little few drops before the flow? So again, the halacha is that if there's a, Bar Yashur calls tipa acha tipa, it's sort of a constant drip, that's considered to be a the beginning of the period. It's only, of course, if it's actually a major flow, which we discussed already before, 2 weeks ago, that creates a status of nida, irrespective of any other details, of white, or color, or hagosh, nothing. Once it's a flow, so we assume it's a status of nida d'oraisa. If, however, it's a few drops, it's a little more tricky. Well, did the period start? Did it not start? When do I count? When's the beginning? When's the onus of Vestas? Exactly when did it start? Is it not permitted for the calculation of the Vestas and not permitted for the 5 days which we discussed last week when you begin? So you need a little bit of judgment sometimes. If a woman does an internal examination and finds red, so then we assume that's the beginning of the period. All right. But again, there may be times when it's a little bit questionable when the first day really is. It doesn't just begin with a flow. Women have different constitutions. Some women are just, they're clean, white. All of a sudden, start to flow. That's the easiest halakha situation. We know exactly when it starts, whenever it starts. When it starts. Many women, they start to drip a little bit, stain a little bit. And then, we discussed before how you manage the stain, what you do, and how that stuff can be bigger. You find it here, you find it there. Why? It's not why. It's a little more complicated sometimes. Because of when the actual period begins. You have to have a shot, you have to ask by rough. Okay. There are exceptions to the rule of Vestas, that's what's called Mu'uberes Umenika, a woman who is either pregnant or a woman who is nursing. Now, a woman who is pregnant, if she's in a normal circumstance, will not see any doubt from the time she conceives till she gives birth. There are many exceptions to the rule, but that is the rule. And that's called the Mesulekes Damin. That means she's expected to have no dam at all during the period of pregnancy. A Menika, Bismana Gemara, was the same. When a woman was nursed for as many as 2 years, that was considered the normal time of the nursing of a baby, she wouldn't have any dam. Nowadays, that's changed dramatically. Perhaps because we now give supplementary bottles, some food, etc. I don't know exactly the reason for it. That's just a fact, and now it's not so true that she's in the Sulek and Dunham. It's difficult for me to go into all the details, the prutim of Vestas when it comes to Mu'uberes Umenika. It gets a little bit complicated. Pashup shot is that once she misses one period, let's just say a pregnant woman, then there's nothing much to worry about on the following grounds. See, there's a third kind of Vestas we haven't discussed yet. It's called the Vestas HaKodesh. That's all the rest of the month. This is the end of the month, period. That might be a problem in such a circumstance, which will come to. But in terms of the vessels of the own abandonment or the vessels of the Haplaga, she sees every 32 days or the average one, which is considered the 30th day, we'll see soon whatever it means. So once she misses one period, it's finished. Nothing to worry about anymore because the Haplaga passed. Now about 60 days later. 60 days later, there's no fear whatsoever. Only possibility is Yom HaKodesh, because that's the same day of the month. Same day of the month every month, for example. Anyway, she's the 10th of the month, every single month. 10th. And she skips one, but she became pregnant. But there's a question about, is she required to worry about the 10th of the month, the following month? That's a complicated question, depending on a number of considerations. Similarly, after the Yemei HaNafta are over, when she weans the baby, do we say that she goes back to her original Vestas from who knows, 2.5 years ago? The answer is no again, especially if it wasn't a Vestas Kavua, which is the most common situation. So therefore, I won't discuss the details. But one thing I want to add, I should add right now, I'll do this next week's topic, and it's clear, it's obvious today, that if a woman sees blood during her pregnancy or during her nursing, and she does become an Ishanita. Once at a very, I'm saying, emphasizing for a reason, there was once a Rav who came to me, the way he read it in the Shulchan Aruch over here, he misread it to say that if a woman sees a dam during her pregnancy, she's not a Nizam. I keep the Shulchan Aruch talks about Vestas, Ein Choshen, something like that, you don't have to worry about it. But the Shulchan Aruch, you don't have to worry about the subsequent months in terms of Vestas, you don't establish a Vestas during pregnancy. But this rabbi understood it, Ein Choshen, and she's Luteris about it right then and there. I'm ready, came to ask me the Shiloh. That wasn't even the shayla, that was an assumption she was making. Lucky I picked it up. After the robot to pick up on the shayla, I said, huh, what did you say that again? I said, one more time. And I realized that was making a misconception, which he had based on the wrong reading of the Shulchan Aruch. You have to be very careful not to pass it just like this, based on the reading of the Shulchan Aruch. If you have any doubt whatsoever, you should ask the shayla. All right. This Kuf Pei Dalet. Kuf Pei Vav is the next sermon about the deacons. Very interesting thing is found over there. Shulchan Aruch tells us that a woman who has no Vestas Kavua, first it said that if she has Vestas Kavua, she should know Bedikas are required. not before Tashmish, not after Tashmish. On the contrary, it shouldn't be done. Shloyalibo Nofo. It's not, you don't do Bedikas before Tashmish. You just don't do it. You don't do it. Even in Ein Levesis Kavua, where the Mechaba has a little bit of a Chumra, we also say we don't do it. Lamaisa, we don't do it. Except the Mechaba is a Chumra of the Sholosh Ponim HaRishon of Tzrich Livza. Why? To make sure you're not in the category of a Roa Adam, Machmas Tashmish. The Shach argues in the Mechaba that it's not true. Shach has very powerful arguments against the Mechaba. The Mechaba is reading from a Rif. The Rif is quoted not in the Sefer of the Hilchos Nida. The Rif is found in the Sefer of Ksubas of all places. And it says that the Shach is the Mechaba to arrive. The Rif said the Rif didn't mean in the Hilchos Nida, not in the Hilchos Ksubas. And there was in fact no such thing at all of a Bedikah the first three times after marriage. That depends upon the Hagia Mekomos. Some follow the Mechaba, some follow the Shach. Seems to me that one has the right to follow the Shach, who says the Bedikah is to be Megal. One who wants to be Machal, like the Mechaba, have to be very careful when to do these three Bedikahs. Hard to do it because to do it at the beginning is absolute. We'll see that next week. We'll have to talk about it. If she's to do it at a time when this period is not expected at all, which we'll discuss in a moment, is also not to talk about. So when are you going to do it? It's a very complicated kind of a thing. To be done at a time when she's in a status of Ish Shein Loves. He led the Truma Tadesh and Tasks, quoted Shimon Aruch, that most women today, even if they have no Vestas Kavua, they have what we call, I would like to use the term, a negative Vestas. She never sees less than 26 days. So if that's the case, then she should check the first three times before 26 days and check and see if the sun is out today. We see the sun is out today. Well, what's the Kiddush? She has said that she has no Vestas today. It's a check between 26 and 32 in that range to check if there's no. No doubt. It gets complicated. But she becomes pregnant, and then again, not to talk about. These three bedikas that they're going to do them, and she becomes pregnant right away, then she's nervous again, you can't do bedikas. So it could take 5 years. I don't know. The Kodesh Baruch Hu was good. It could take 5 years to get the three bedikas to Rishonis. By that time, you know, we're just a newlywed couple, because they're still doing the three bedikas to Rishonis 5 years later. So it all depends on the circumstances. Shach is Mekel to Chalal, and the Ramesh also says that there are those who have been to be Mekel, is what to rely upon. Fine. Let's get to Ona Benedis. When is Ona Benedis? We just have to learn, look to Simon Kuf, Pei, Tes, which is the Simon about Vestas. A very long Simon, that's 34 Sifim, and we're going to summarize it in 34 minutes, or less. We're already past the time. The din of Ona Benedis is a big, big, big machlokas. According to the Shach, Ona Benedis is exactly the same as Vestas HaKodesh. What does it mean? Benedis means the day of the month. Now there's some differences. If she didn't see the month before, things of this nature are unusual cases. But in the normal average case, the Ona Benedis is kind of the same day of the month of the previous period, which is exactly the same day as the Vestas HaKodesh comes out. So according to the Shach, only two things to worry about, really. What are the two things? Vestas Plaga, the interval. And what else? And the Ona Benedis / Vestas HaKodesh. That's a Shach sheet. Yes. Right. Another cluster of Molech. Same thing. That's a Shach sheet. And the truth is that it seems to be a row of Rishon all at the Shach. However, the Rashbo disagrees. If you look at one of the Beis Yitzchok, Rabbi Meir Olia Shlita, has an article which tries to prove, I think correctly, that the Rashba holds not against the Shach. And the Mechaba is meant to even be maybe going with that mahalach. Nevertheless, Rav Rishon says you like the Shach. And the Aruch HaShulchan also proves that there aren't two such things. It's not just two things. It's Chodesh and Benedis. It's only one thing. The Shach and the Aruch HaShulchan agree there's only one concept. Chodesh and Benedis. There aren't two separate things. But here's where they part ways. What is the concept? Which one is it? The Shach says it's Vesta Chodesh. So Benedis is really Vesta Chodesh. Would it be Koster or Molly? It's all the same thing. Always going to be 29 or 30. 30 and 31, that's how you want to look at it. Same day as the month. Same day as the month as the previous month. That's how the Shach is done. Or Chashulchan says no Faker. Puk Faker. Vesta Chodesh. Don't interpret Vesta Chodesh the same day of the month. No, months vary. Chodesh Koster, Chodesh Molly. Where the woman's body is not going to vary depending upon whether the Adam come or don't come, or whether the calendar is this way or that way. Therefore, the Rosh Hashanah is fakir, that the real din is the 30th day. The 30th day is the time of depletion, the beacon, the whole story. That's called Vesta Chodesh, and that's called Arabian. So come the month, according to the Aruch HaShulchan, the Vesta Chodesh could be a different day of the month. Right? Because if it starts off one month, it could be Zion, next month it could be Vav. Right? It's called the Vesta Chodesh. That's the Aruch HaShulchan says. So now here, a funny situation. Even if you agree with the road we showed you, that the Chodesh and Arabian are really one day, it doesn't help you much. I'm not sure what day it is. The shot of the fist, and I'll show them that. The anyway stuff. So on the nearest idea of the thing is as follows. Speaker, I did, I think you can follow the shot. Those who want to simplify their lives, I think I have a right to follow the shot. The shot because it's a very simple matter. It's on a calendar. Whatever the calendar was last month, that's what it is this month. You don't have to calculate anything. You don't have any calculator necessary. But just pull out the day of the month, and that's the end. That's the Iker, I did, on the nearest idea. However, since number one, many Rishonim say, or many Achronim I should say, and perhaps some Rishonim say, that Beinonis and Chodesh are two separate things. And number two, there are Chashulchan who agree there's only one thing says, it really means the 30th day. So the Fiyani is like, someone who wants to be Machmir and say that the Vesta Chodesh is the 30th day, or Beinonis is also the 30th day, so then this Chumrah has a basis. The Chumrah has a basis. However, the Chavos Das, who's mocked the other way, he says that on abandonment is the 31st day. I should add that the Taz says, like Aruch HaShulchan, that it's the 30th day. But the Taz also is a Vesta Chodesh. Aside from the on abandonment, and the Aruch HaShulchan denies that fact. Let's just summarize. As far as on abandonment, there are three sheets. Taz is the 30th day, Chavos Das is the 31st day, and the Shach is the same as the day of the month. It could be 30 or 31. Yes, sir.
I got a shot.
You have to look at the Gemara. 30 days. The Gemara talks about 30 days. Gimel Omer is 90 days. Yes,
yeah, you can establish it 30 days.
Based on the last period, no?
Why
is that just about the if it would be 30 days, but the last aflagah was 31 days, or 33 days, or 28 days.
Why is she a Vesta to 30? Huh? Where is the Vesta Beinonis coming from?
A woman who has no Vesta Kavua has to go by on the Beinonis too. So the fact that she has a 28 or 30 day period is irrelevant.
Even though there's no indication whatsoever that her Vesta
Beinonis. That's correct. That's exactly what it is.
There's no
student
Vesta Beinonis before that.
An addition. That's correct. An addition. Okay. Grab both sides. So therefore, again, the ego definitely follow the shot. However, since the Aruch HaShulchan is the same as the Taz, is what the Rimach for there as well, the Chavos Das is often it requires Rimach for the Chavos Das too. That's very hard. It seems to be further that someone who's makhmer like the Taz to require a Krisha on the 30th day, even though it's not the day of the month, but I don't think it will still be tariff to the rules from it. Again, it's a sex thing for the month. I don't think you have to go that far. Yeah. What happens in the following situation? This happens very frequently. A woman sees always more than 31 days. Always. Never gets less than 32. There are many women like that. See, 32, 35, 38, 34, 37. Never less than 32 days. What's the difference? Is she required to worry about the Chodesh and Aflaga? Excuse me, the Chodesh and Abandonment or no? The Machlokas Achron? The biggest Achron is the Great Tower, the Chavos Das. Rav Moshe's Maker. And says that if she sees never less than 32 days, there's no need to worry about the earlier about the own abandonment. I have picture of Moshe doesn't just refer to own abandonment, it refers to Vesta Chodesh too. But otherwise, the cooler is the cooler. You don't have to worry about these things at all, because she's always seeing more than 32 days. That's what we call a negative essence. We mentioned it before. Truma Sadesh has a negative essence. It works to exclude things. So here, it excludes the Vesta Chodesh, and it excludes the Vesta of own abandonment. The Bali HaShulchan Machmir, negative vest only works for certain things, not for Kata, for Bedika, etc. Not for to help in an out-of-court situation of Krisha. When he was back, he could be Mekel the Shabbos. Machlokas HaGadol HaFonim, and I think there's grounds to be Mekel for sure. You want to be Machmir again, then don't be Mitzav, you have the rules from if you want to be Machmir. I don't think there's a need to be Machmir in this situation. No Prisha, no Bdika, nothing, in my opinion. Zero. In my opinion. That's what I think. No. I'm not getting involved in my shop. Different question. Yes?
Also, how do you count the shop that are accountable?
There is a machlokas, which I'll discuss right now, about how you can calculate the haplogos. Maybe you refer to that. How do you calculate haplogos? Now, the Noda Behuda, quoted by the Pesach Teshuva, quotes the Rabbi Shoyl. The Rabbi Shoyl was a man who was a followed logic, as you know. If you calculate the haplogos, you should calculate it based upon the onos, which means how many time zones separated period A from period B, and just calculate how many time zones exist between B and C to know when C comes out. It's the most logical way to do it. When I say a time zone, I mean a half a day. So that if a woman saw Sunday afternoon, and the next month she sees Sunday night, right, so it's an odd number of zones. So what do 61, I think it'll be kind of, actually Sunday. 57, 56 would be the same one. If I say a count, we'll pull 58. 57, we'll pull 67. That's an odd number. So then figure it out for the next month. So you have to worry about Monday by day. So it's Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, to Monday by day, logically. And if the pattern continues, this is more about Monday night, Tuesday by day, just keep going. And that kind of is a pattern. That's what the Shirava Shoel wrote to the Noda Behuda. So the Noda Behuda writes back that he's wrong. That's not the way they calculate the owner. The owner is calculated by days, not by period, not by time, not by 12 hours, but by the calendar days. In other words, if last month was the 10th of the month, and now it's the 11th of the month, so then it's just that many days in the month. And the fact that one was by day and one was by night is immaterial in terms of calculating what day of the next month the dinner vessel will apply. However, says another view, once you establish the calendar day of the month upon which the chiv of Bedika Prisha applies, and then you want to know, well, which half of that count the day. Is it day or is it night, which has all these halakhas? Then we look at the most recent period and we say, whatever that was, this was. In other words, you have from Sunday afternoon to Sunday night. So in the following month, we're not going to say Monday afternoon is the time, which would around the show. But no, Sunday night is the time. Because it's assuming that the flood of the previous month would correspond to this particular day, that should be the following day, which namely what we call Monday. You won't say it's Monday by day based on the 57. No. You'll say we don't measure 57. We measure the smaller unit, 29. Right? So therefore we'll go from Sunday day to Sunday night, so then the next period will be whatever it'll be, whether it'll be Monday, whether it'll be Tuesday, the case, whatever happened in the previous period of the month before, for the chiv of Krishna is equal to be by night. To determine which half of the 24-hour day, for that we follow the most recent period, when it began. But before you even get to that, you want to know which day of the month is the day on which we have these chiyuvim and these yisurim. That's determined irrespective of when the recent period was seen. Just take the days of the calendar. That's a little bit complicated. That's how I know you're possibly passing our love. Sure, please. I'd say it's logical, since we pass Malo. Okay? This is as follows. The way in which our flog is calculated is by calendar days. Again, the Chomak and Islay, we're not discussing over here the details of the Beinanis and the Stachos, we're discussing our flog. But Aflaga is determined by intervals. And the intervals are measured by calendar days, 24 hours in a clip, from Shkia to Shkia. That's how we measure the interval. And it's a simple way to calculate it out. You just move that many days over. For example, just to give you a couple of examples. You have, let's say a woman saw on Wednesday by day. And then she saw Thursday night. Okay? Wednesday day and Thursday night. Four weeks and change later. Okay? The classical case. So Wednesday is Wednesday and Thursday night is Friday. But you moved up 2 days, right? Move from Wednesday to Friday. It's easy to calculate. When's the next one that's work? Which day of the week? No? You move from Wednesday to Friday. Then you move from Friday to what? To Sunday. Which part of Sunday? Motzei Shabbos. Or Sunday by day. What's the answer? Motzei Shabbos, because Thursday was a night. Even though it doesn't work out exactly in terms of the time zones, don't work out. Because you move 3 zones, and now you move in 4 zones. I mean, if you're talking about zones, that's good zones. We go a day. Once you get to the day, then you know that you want to know which zone, morning or night, day or night, is the key of Prisha Medika. Within that 24-hour day, then you look at the last period. I'm not sure if it's 100% clear to you. You get married, you figure it out, you'll see how it works out. If you have a question, you get asked. Let's plug in the computer. They should write out, no to be Yehuda. Then you want to pass. And come out the right spot. I think it's Shulchan Aruch of a different word. If I'm not mistaken, Shulchan Aruch Harav is those that follow an unbelievable sheet which we don't accept. Namely, it depends upon the time between the end of one period and the beginning of the next. We got that out of the Bible. We don't hold that. Unless it was the Bible Shulchan Aruch, that was amazing. The Bible is a different Shulchan Aruch. So they pass it differently. I don't know how our Shulchan Aruch is. But they call the Shulchan Aruch HaMechaba. Okay? That's how we follow. Okay? Alright. Now, how do you uproot a Vesus? So, if you have a Vesus Kavua, which is established 3 times, 7 to 35 days. Alright? 33 days is now history. Press the cancel button. Finished. It came a 33-day period, and she was expecting it at this time. Goodbye, Charlie. That's it. Uprooted. Came in once, or that once. Okay. Sorry. Yes. A woman who has a vessel, Shaina Kavua, must worry about on the bayonet / vessel chodesh. I told you about the same. Whatever it is. Unless, according to Rav Moshe and other poskim, if she saw 3 in a row